Thank you, Valda and Niels and Mary for the music this morning. I'd invite Jim to come and share with us at this time.
Morning. It's good to see our pastor back. He walked into our prayer time this morning. I asked him if his machete was sharp. In Mexico, that means, are you ready to preach? And he said no. Welcome back. He had a little incident on the road. He said they got rear-ended at a toll station where they were trying to pay their money and somebody behind them wanted to go. We're glad you're back. Many countries today are wrestling with the problem of how to deal with aliens. They say that in the U.S. elections that this will be a very hot issue, and it may in fact decide how the election in the U.S. turns out. Italy's having problems. They say the number of immigrants has doubled in this past year. Did you know that Switzerland has the greatest percentage of immigrants? I don't know if it's in the whole world, but I'm sure. Is it in the whole world? 28% immigrants here? Aliens? We were noting yesterday at our men's prayer time, 80% of the people there were aliens. Now, when Paul visited Philippi, there were many people there who were Roman citizens because they'd served in the army and they had taken their retirement there in Philippi. Paul also was a Roman citizen, and he used this to his advantage when he was put in prison. And yet, in that letter to the Philippians, he said something about this subject, citizenship. He said, "Our citizenship is in heaven." In the letter to the Hebrews, in that wonderful chapter 11, where it talks about those great men of faith, Noah and Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, it said they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. So how do Christians deal with the alien problem? Well, just admit you're one too. In 1 Peter chapter 1, when he began his book, he wrote the book to God's elect, strangers in the world. And in verse 17, he said there in chapter 1, he advised him, live your lives as strangers here, in reverent fear. And in the passage we are looking at today, this is what was read by San Poon, 1 Peter chapter 4. He tells us not just to do it, but he tells us how to do it. And that's helpful. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. Advice for those of us who admit that we are aliens and strangers. I don't know if you've read this book, How to Live in Switzerland. got lots of advice. Here's advice for us today. How do you do it? Verse 7. Be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. People in a foreign country are often homesick. Everything is so different, especially for the first time. The language is different, and the sights and the sounds, the smells, the temperature. If you lived in the tropics, boy, it's that humidity that gets you. The food is different. And on and on and on. I had a friend in seminary. He was from India, and he had just arrived. Left India, came there, and I said, what's wrong? He said, I'm exhausted. Well, what have you been doing? Working so hard? No, it's all the new things. Everything's different. When I look here, this is different than that, and I'm just totally exhausted. Now, in order to deal with this pain of being an alien and a stranger, some people turn to distractions like alcohol, drugs. They get together with so-called friends and they teach them about tobacco and about sex and about fun places to go. Now, Peter does not want us to fill this gap with these things. He said, be clear-minded and sober, self-controlled. That word sober there is the one that's in Mark chapter 5, where Jesus cast demons out of a man. And he sent them into the pigs. And it says, after the people who were tending the pigs came to Jesus, they saw that he that was possessed with a legion of demons was sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. He was sober. That's our word. Sitting, clothed, in his right mind. He wasn't living out in the tombs like he was before. He wasn't crying out and cutting himself with stones. That's the way we're supposed to be. Peter said, live as strangers here in reverent fear. Now, what is there to fear? I mean, Switzerland's the safest place in the world, right? Well, in chapter 5, verse 8, he says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Now, often, he doesn't come as a roaring lion. He just comes in just little steps. There's that pain. There's that anxiety. Oh, we take something, you know, painkiller. Little by little by little. Did you know no one ever plans on ending up as an alcoholic? Or dependent on drugs? But just little by little, and denial is there. You can't convince an alcoholic more often than not that he's in trouble. They don't plan on being an addict. But the pain and the exhaustion and the homesickness, when you find some relief, you feel better. But their solution is found in the world. John says in chapter 2, do not love the world, nor things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of the eyes, the boasting of what he has and does, it comes not from the Father, but from the world. And guess what? The world passes away, but the man who does the will of God, he lives forever. So Peter says, be clear-minded, self-controlled. And he doesn't say, so you won't get mugged, or you won't get run over by a tram. And you know those green guys, you've got to be careful about them. Or you won't have an accident on a bicycle. No, he says, so that you can pray. If you're not sober, if you're taking away the pain and you're drunk, you can't pray. We had a wonderful time in our Wednesday Bible studies for a few weeks, talking about the prayer of Jesus in John 17. I learned a lot. One commentary said, Jesus never prayed before he came to earth. I never thought about that. Why should he pray? He was God. He had everything he wanted. He didn't need to ask for anything. I'm still mulling that over. Maybe you can help me with that a little bit. But he did pray when he came to earth. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7, it says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Father, Abba, it's an intimate term. He prayed, as recorded in Mark 14:36. Father, Abba, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. He really was not looking forward to going to the cross. And he prayed, Father, take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will. It is so important for us to be sober so we can pray. Why? Because prayer is our lifeline to God. I counted at least 20 times that Jesus said, ask. Ask. And I wonder sometimes when the day may come when we get to heaven and we say, Lord, why didn't you help me out in such and such and why? And he'll say, but you didn't ask. That's all you had to do is ask. Our lifeline to God is so important. Don't mess with your head and let it get out of sorts because you won't be able to pray. You'd be like a soldier. I saw soldiers in Vietnam when I was there. You'd be like a soldier on guard duty. He's got his gun, he's got his telephone, and guess what? He's shooting up drugs. Yeah. And he's the one that's supposed to be protecting me. Wow, I got real scared. How can you call on God to help if you're not sober and self-controlled? Your lifeline is cut. Let's go on to the second bit of advice he gives there in verse 8. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. This word deeply is also can be translated, because the meaning is there, fervently and constantly. Keep on loving, not just a spike of love here and there. Peter says the same thing in chapter 1, verse 22. Now that you've purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. Seems like there's two kinds of love. Yeah, you love. You've been purified, so you love. Love deeply. I've got a friend here in Basel. If he said that to me once, he said that 100 times. Jim, we've got to love one another deeply. But you know, at times I still don't get it. I appreciate his help. Would you help me with that too? Would you say out loud this verse, 1 Peter 4:8, say it together? You have the place? 1 Peter 4, verse 8. It starts out, above all. Say it out nice and loud. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Would you say it again? Louder. I need this to ring in my ears. Above all, love each other deeply. And when I say, you know, there's someone I really have problems with, I need to hear this. Love one another deeply. And when you say, when I say, have you noticed the way that person dresses? I just can't. I need to hear that verse. Such a petty little nothing in the face of this command, love one another deeply. And when I say, boy, I never let my kids get away with that, what they let the... Hey, 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, love one another deeply. Why? Why? Well, if you have to. No, he didn't say that. He says, love covers a multitude of sins. Whose sins? His sins? Our sins? That's our problem, isn't it? Just covers it over. Just, you know, this is a really a good covering. The cover doesn't blow off real easily on this. Aliens. Above all, love other aliens deeply. Because love covers a multitude of sins. Are they in pain? Well, I hadn't thought about that. Are they disoriented? Are they exhausted? Are they worried about a job? Are they low on funds? Well, I don't know. Are they frustrated because they can't find a parking place? Well, I found mine. You know, you have to get involved with people. If you're going to love them deeply, you've got to know about them. The third thing it says is it's in verse 9. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Another translation says, welcome people into your home and don't grumble about it. You got to clean the place up a little bit. Boy, at our house, we got a machine that goes into operation when we get ready to have people come over. Amazing. I keep telling her, hey, paper plates, no problem. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. The word for hospitality is philoxenu. That's the strangers. We have a word. What is it? I hear it. Xenophobia, yeah. Fear of strangers. The word, saying the root of that word, is either a foreigner or an enemy. The reason why they're enemies, we don't know anything about them. We don't know what their intentions are. Lover of strangers. Did you know that Gaius got his name in the Bible because he was hospitable? Romans 16:23, Gaius, Paul says, whose hospitality I and the whole church here enjoy. He sends you his greetings. Wish I could get my name in the Bible by inviting people. You know, sometimes you never know. Sometimes there may be an angel. That's what we're told in the Bible. Hospitality. On Thursday, I made a telephone call to someone who was studying at the Swiss Tropical Institute, and I wanted to say goodbye. They said, I'll see you on Wednesday. Well, they weren't there. So I called up on Thursday, say, hey. And I got the telephone number of somebody that was a member of our fellowship. I said, oh, I'm really sorry about this wrong number. He said, oh, no, it's not a wrong number. They're staying with us. Hospitality. They open their homes. And we had a lady that came at prayer meeting this morning and just came back, and she's staying with Annie until she can get straightened around. Hospitality. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. If you're an alien, you know, in those days they didn't have hotels and places to stay, unless it was a brothel. So they almost had to do it. But here, people come and go. Open your home. Be hospitable. I talked to one person. He said, I've never been in a Swiss home. Well, they're not at home until they've been in a home. Our last bit of advice is found in verse 10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in various forms. The word various there is used at the first chapter, he says, you may have been suffering various trials and persecution. They're not all the same. And our gifts are not all the same. You've got a gift. This person's got a gift. And we're encouraged here, use whatever gift you receive to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in various forms. I enjoy hearing people from Swiss Tropical Institute talk about their work. They're doing all kinds of experiments. Some of them even bring specimens from their home country here. I remember David Odongo, he missed his plane and got shifted to Brazil. He had his specimens there, and they had to be kept cold. And these people, they do all kinds of experiments. Sometimes when we invite them to our home, they say, I've got to go home early because I've got some experiments that I've got to check on. They're administering different, I don't know, drugs, different whatevers. Niels, you know more about that than I would. And Sinsik, he does this with the microbiology. He tried to explain that to me. Man, I didn't understand that. But I know that they take different kinds of medications and whatever and administer it. This is kind of a picture for me of what God is doing for Christians. Instead of using syringes and drip bags and whatever, He uses us. We are a channel of His grace. Now, we're not the grace, but we're a channel of the grace. Philip was a channel of God's grace. He was up in Samaria. Oh, they had a wonderful evangelistic campaign going, and it was really going gangbusters. And the Spirit said, Philip, you leave Samaria, you go down to Jerusalem and go on further down into the desert on the road going to Gaza. And God didn't tell him why. I'm sure as he went down there walking along this desert, what am I here for? And here came a chariot by. And the Spirit said, you go and run alongside the chariot there. And he heard the Ethiopian reading Isaiah. And he asked him, do you understand what you're reading? Isaiah 53. Or was it 52? Talked about the Messiah and the pains he was going through and all. He said, how can I understand that? And there in the chariot, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. And he was baptized. And they came to where there's some water. He said, why can't I be baptized? And he was. And he went on his way with joy. God had his man at the right place at the right time, administering his grace. I think of Ananias up in Damascus. God spoke to Ananias. Said, Ananias, there's a man named Saul. He's coming here. He's here in Damascus. Gave him the street address. Street called Straight. I want you to go. Excuse me, Lord. I think that's the one that was coming here to put Christians in jail. He was scared. But he obeyed. And he went. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here has sent me that you may see again. He was blind. be filled with the Holy Spirit. God's man at the right place, at the right time. They were not the grace. They were the channel of God's grace, administering God's grace to them. Now, if you say, "Oh, I don't have any gifts." I don't have any gifts. Either you're not telling the truth or God's not telling the truth. Now, which is it? Because he says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, "Now each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." He doesn't say for some of you. Each one has been given a manifestation of the Spirit. It's not for you. It's for others. Well, what gift do I have? I went with my son when we were visiting him in Sudan. And he went late at night for operation. He went there and lady had ripped her arm open. She fell out of a tree. And he got a pan. He pulled out about 6 bottles of saline solution. And he rinsed. And he washed. And he washed. And he washed. He said, "That is very important. Just salt water." As it said in the song, "Weep with those who are weeping." A little salt water is maybe what they need. You don't have any tears to give? Everybody's got tears. We go on to verse 11. He winds the topic up there in chapter 4. "If anyone speaks, he should speak the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it in the strength that God gives, that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." How are you supposed to use these gifts? Serve others, he says. In my own strength? No, in the strength that God provides for the glory of God. Did you know God has brought you here to Basel to administer grace? Believe it, it's true. So, fellow aliens, be clear-minded. Love one another deeply. Be hospitable. And use the gifts that God has given you. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen.
Thanks for sharing with us, Jim, this morning.